Today, I am happy to share Dr. Gail Peterson with you. Dr. Gail is the founder of MakingHealthyFamilies.com, which won acclaim from the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy as an exemplary site for helping families. She is the author of An Easier Childbirth, Birthing Normally, Making Healthy Families, and developer of the Prenatal Counseling and Birth Hypnosis Program. Her articles on family relationships appear in professional journals, and she is an oft-quoted expert in popular magazines such as Woman's Day, Mothering, Fit Pregnancy, and Parenting. She also serves on the advisory board for Fit Pregnancy magazine and trains doulas, counselors, and midwives in her prenatal counseling and birth hypnosis training. Now, I wish I had known about Dr. Gail's resources when I was a new mom, but I'm happy to bring her here today to share her wisdom with you. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gail.
Thank you, Christy. I'm so happy to be here.
That's wonderful. Now, could you share with us how you became involved in researching the psychological nature of childbirth?
Well, as you might imagine, it happened when I became pregnant with my first child, my daughter, who now has four children of her own, so I'm actually a grandmother of four now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. But that, you know, happened in 1973 when I was pregnant with her, and at that time, there weren't a lot of choices available to women.
Mm-hmm.
And I began getting interested in home birth at the time, even though the model that I teach is for everyone. It's for people in hospitals, people, you know, doing natural birth, people doing medicated birth, only because there's not one way to give birth. You know, you really have to support the woman in where she's at. But at that time, I was, you know, kind of naive, not really knowing a lot of what was out there, and when I started seeing what was out there, my choices were probably even more limited than they are today. But I found the Santa Cruz Birth Center, and I was lucky enough to be involved with midwives who were actually supervised. I shouldn't say supervised, but one particular OB from Stanford did actually help train some of the midwives. He was very, very wonderful, wonderful OB who is now retired. But at any rate, it was through that program that the midwives actually sat down and spent the time asking you about, you know, what was your relationship with your mother? How do you see motherhood changing your life? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you looking forward to? What are you afraid of? And also being able to realistically prepare for childbirth, because women would come in and it was uncensored. They would bring in their tapes of their, you know, sounds they made in birth and this whole thing. So really from the beginning, I had an introduction from a psychological, you know, awareness into the process. And then afterwards, I became involved in research and working with, you know, doctors from different different institutions, and came out with research on what contributes to normal birth. And interestingly enough, as you might imagine, I'm just preparing a woman psychologically to deal with her own issues and to feel like, you know, she's supported and growing is really what helps her adjust and adapt physiologically in the labor, after birth, during the, you know, 2 years postpartum that you talk about in your website.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just sort of a little bit of a synopsis. But, you know, you can ask me more questions and I can tell you more specifics.
Absolutely. So you started on this path when you were a new mom and ended up getting involved in some wonderful research that shows that there are these tremendous benefits when women are able to process the psychological nature of their own individual experience of both pregnancy and childbirth then.
Yeah, and you know what I think isn't really fully appreciated is that, you know, our society is very has been, you know, not that supportive of female values, and so the whole childbirth experience itself was seen as something you just, you know, you get through, or, you know, you get around, or, you know, you get past, basically, and then everything's supposed to be, you know, about motherhood and so forth. But, you know, the reality is childbirth is an ordeal, and it's either going to be a negative ordeal or a positive ordeal. It is not neutral.
Right. And I would
You know, you have to harness it in order to, you know, integrate the experience. So no matter what, you know, the four-session model that I've designed, you know, in the last 20 years is really about helping women integrate the experience, you know, the power of the experience of giving birth and then coming into motherhood as women who are growing, not that they just become mothers mm-hmm. and then the rest of their identity is submerged. Do you understand?
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. Now, a little bit of your program I had experienced through some other people's teachings, particularly with doing some body-centered hypnosis in preparation for childbirth. But you have an entire integrated system. So I want to share with our audience what it is, what these steps are that you have to offer.
The first thing is simply to interview women, and this is something that I did in the research. So it's based on that research in the 1970s, really, and then on into the 80s. You know, of sitting, I had research childbirth by going to women's homes and with my daughter sitting with them. And I had a 5-month-old daughter when I started this research.
Wow!
And she's sitting on my lap, and I'm interviewing women who are pregnant about what their expectations are. You know, what are your expectations for the birth and how have you prepared, and do you expect it to be painful? How do you view pain? You know, what do you think will change in your life? And, you know, these other questions about relationships with parents, the parents they want to be, the parents they don't want to be,
mm-hmm, right?
You know, this sort of thing. And then I would come back after the baby was born for the postpartum session mm-hmm. and interview and see, you know, what were the things that worked, what were the things that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that framework, I really developed 4 sessions with the woman, which also includes integrating the father and the experience in the 3rd or 4th sessions, or as much as he wants to be involved. Mm-hmm. But the first session is usually with the mother, and it's asking her about her experience of birth, her own experience of childbirth, if she's had it, you know, mm-hmm. before, if there's been any trauma involved or anything like that.
Right.
And also her experience of, you know, her mother's birth, you know, her own birth experience, what that was like, because that can impact, you know, on a subconscious level, I guess you would say, you know, it can impact your anxiety about, you know, the labor.
Right.
So that interview really gives me a profile then of what to address in the body-centered hypnosis. And so the hypnosis is a very, very unique taped, you know, we tape it. So, and this is something I also do in phone counseling for women who across the country,
mm-hmm.
is I can do the interview and then we tape a body-centered hypnosis that they use to prepare for the birth that's specific to their fears and concerns, which might be anything from having had a trauma, you know, traumatic birth in the past or even, you know, a cesarean to fears that, you know, they'll be left or their marriage won't work out, you know, after the baby comes
right.
because of, you know, previous experience in childhood, this sort of thing.
Sure.
So, you know, we really work, and this is a model that can also be used with women who are in preterm labor or they've had some, you know, some signs of preterm labor. The research shows that, you know, the hypnosis really helps calm the limbic system and maintain the baby to term. So, you know, it's also used for that as well as the post-traumatic stress of childbirth. And then it's also used just for, realistically preparing for a healthy birth, you know, and being able to visualize it in the limbic system so that you're really having sort of a tracing of the experience. And so then by the time the person comes in for the 3rd session, the 3rd session is more about coping with pain and labor and what their individual coping styles are, which really helps them transition through the pain and use it as a powerful resource. I call it healthy pain.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that. That's the first time I've heard that term.
Yeah, I call it healthy pain in labor because if you take away the word pain, you call it rushes, you call it, you know, intensity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not that those things aren't accurate. It's just they don't really give a sense of just calling something what it is. And in our culture, you know, we're always trying to avoid pain, you know, take our painkillers, and that's fine. But in labor, you can't completely avoid it because you can't even have the pain medication until you've gotten to a certain dilatation of labor. So, you know, it's not really helpful to completely avoid it. And so I talk to women about, you know, healthy pain is like the words, all the words that the Eskimos might have for snow. You know, different kinds of snow, different kinds of ice. We don't have a lot of those kind of words. We don't have different kinds of words for pain. So I call it healthy pain.
Right.
It's something like, you know, when you go, exercising and you have a certain amount of healthy pain as your muscles will actually be just a teeny bit wounded from the stretching, but then they'll also be strengthened, you know, from the workout, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, working with the concept of healthy pain is sort of I think it's transformative, really.
Wow. That is a wonderful thing. I'd never heard anything like that in my different hypnosis preparation for my two childbirths.
Yeah, I think it's very important because what happens in the limbic system is if you're not prepared adequately for the realistic sensations of labor,
mm-hmm.
your brain actually goes into what's called sort of a loop where the person gets afraid because of the interpretation of what's going on, not because of what's going on. It would be sort of like if I saw, you know, a car coming towards me on a road, and then, you know, I would have all the symptoms, the heart racing and everything of somebody being very afraid, like, you know, this car is, you know, coming towards me, it's supposed to be on the other side of the lane,
mm-hmm.
but then as I get closer, I see it's really on the other side of the lane, it was just an illusion.
Right.
Well, if you're not really prepared, it's called runaway of the limbic system. The limbic system starts looping, going, okay, something's really wrong here, we need to shut down labor. And so then you'll have these long, drawn-out labors, you know, because the limbic system is fighting itself, really. The fear is really, you know, getting in the way of understanding that it's a healthy pain that's happening. So once a woman can really harness the pain in a healthy, transformative style, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
then it's just, the body just works. You know, it just works much, much better is a way of saying it.
That is very, very empowering. I wish I had heard about that earlier, but how wonderful that you're getting this out here for people to hear now. I'm your host, Christy Queller-Wentz, and we're here today with Dr. Gail Peterson. Now, she has a fantastic prenatal and birth counseling program that includes postpartum processing of the birth experience that I find tremendously empowering. So we've been talking about her prenatal counseling program and getting ready for childbirth, and now we're going to talk about the postpartum aspects. Now, personally, when I went through both of my birthing experiences, I did use a form of self-hypnosis. I found that incredibly helpful, and I didn't end up needing to take any medications. But with my first daughter, I did have a very prolonged labor, and it was to the point that after she was delivered for several months, if anybody even said the word push, like, could you please push that cup over here? You know, it really didn't mean anything to them. But to me, I would go into almost a state of shock and terror, just briefly. And I think that I could have really benefited from what Dr. Peterson has to offer, because I ended up needing to really do some processing around that birth experience. And this is something that Dr. Peterson does just as her normal course of doing business. So could you please share with us, Dr. Gail, what is involved in your postpartum sessions with women?
Well, exactly, you know, what you've hit upon, Christy, is really, you know, especially, I guess you could say especially for a first baby, but any baby, mm-hmm. you know, that you're giving birth to is just this huge, huge experience physiologically, emotionally, and so forth. And so, you know, as you're talking about pushing, I mean, clearly you had some post-traumatic stress, and it was a trigger that you did need to process so that you could, you know, truly integrate the experience as a powerful experience, especially for the next childbirth, but even in your life in general.
Right.
You know, so that you can transfer it to other things. so, you know, if I were sitting with you in the postpartum interview afterwards, you know, we would have talked about the birth, and usually what will happen, this is very interesting, is, you know, in our society, mostly women don't get to do that. It's
right.
Like, okay, we're done with that, you know, and especially if anything was wrong, you know, or the woman was upset about anything, it's just like, well, okay, now you've got a beautiful baby, let's forget about that, you know,
exactly.
Move on.
Exactly,
you know, which is really a discredit, you know, to the feminine process. So this postpartum interview is, you know, 50 minutes to 60 minutes of time that's just centered on this experience, which, you know, women just love, you know. I mean, just that alone is almost therapeutic, you know. But it's also oriented towards looking at, okay, so how did you experience this? And I will hear people saying things like, oh, you know, like, for example, if a woman gets to, maybe she has a cesarean and she's coming to me for a VBAC, mm-hmm. you know, she'll say, oh, you know, I only got to, you know, 5 centimeters or something. And I'll say to her, but you're halfway there. That's halfway there. And then she'll stop and she'll, you know, feel it and she'll go, oh, well, I never looked at it that way.
Wow.
And then she continues. I mean, that's just a small example.
Sure.
But, you know, if there were something around pushing, we would, you know, talk about it and then look at, you know, the whole process and what it's done and what, and anything that you needed at that point in order to really, you know, feel, yeah, I don't know if I would say feel better, but to feel, I guess, empowered or good about it, because it's like the woman who's saying, you know, oh, this thing was wrong, or, you know, this wasn't right, but then when you really look at it, she was really with the process, and she was really doing a good job.
Exactly.
You know, and so you really have to understand and sit with the woman to know what that is for her that's genuine, that's authentic. But what I find is that, you know, women leave just feeling, you know, much better about, you know, the whole process, because they've been able to talk about it. And invariably there's, you know, it's like life, you know, there's good things, there's bad things, there's, you know, I mean, it's an intense experience.
Right.
So to be able to sit down and have it be respected as, you know, this incredible, you know, communing with nature, really, no matter how you give birth, you know, whether it's a cesarean, whether, you know, you use medication, whether it's completely natural at home,
right.
Whatever, it's all about meeting, you know, the life force,
right.
And honoring women in that and supporting them through it with whatever, you know, they need so that they're feeling good about themselves, not bad about themselves, you know, when they come out into mothering.
Exactly. You know, I've heard so many women talk to me that have certain expectations going into their birth process, and whatever it was, whether they fully intended to go in for a cesarean section that was planned, or whether, you know, they were kind of on the other side of the continuum where they wanted to have it be completely natural at home and no medications. And what so often happens is that things go differently than anything that we plan. You know, this is an act of nature, you know, and this is something we can plan and prepare for to the best of our abilities, but we're really not in control.
Right, exactly. That's probably key, really, is, you know, in the preparation, is allowing women to yield. And you know, it's interesting, in some childbirth methods, you know, people will use the word surrender, and I really don't like that term, because that's more of a war metaphor.
Mm.
And this isn't a war.
Interesting.
You know? It really is a yielding. I mean, it's like water, you know, pushing through,
right.
you know, an opening, you know, to a river or something. I mean, it's really a yielding, you know, real powerful yielding, so that I think all of those things, if you can feel them in your body, and that's what the body-centered hypnosis tape does, you know, or this CD now,
mm-hmm.
You know, is to help women feel it in their body. And when women come in postpartum, you know, sometimes they even have women say, well, you know, that wasn't, you know, they were expecting pain in labor, and they go, oh, it wasn't even as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That's great.
Which is pretty unusual, really. I mean, because, you know, they're really ready for it, and they're willing to breathe through the contractions, and there's rests in between and so forth. You know, and if there's something else that happens other than that, then we talk about it and we work with it. Sometimes we even do a visualization, you know, right on the spot of helping them feel, okay, so what would it have been like if the baby's head had been totally lined up, coming right down instead of, you know, turned or asynclitic and causing them problems. So I'll say this, and I'll say, you know, because the next time you give birth, the baby could be, because your body's learned how to do this. It's learned how, and so the baby can come right down on your cervix and right through. And so sometimes I'll take them right through that process, and that in and of itself is a treatment for, you know, trauma in birth.
Wow.
So, you know, that's some of what can happen in the postpartum session.
Oh, that is very, very powerful. I know after my first birth, I could not get my hands on enough people just to tell my story to.
Good. That's good to express yourself.
You know, most people do not really want to sit and hear all about a difficult birth experience.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I may have scared a friend of mine who was not married, you know, was had no intention of having children anytime soon. I may have scared her off for life about ever having children,
yeah.
And unintentionally. But
well, you know, that happens in anything where there's, you know, because we will talk more about things that we have to work out, and if we don't
exactly.
get the support to work them out,
right.
we just keep talking about them, and then what can happen is, you know, all of the very positive aspects, and you know, nurse midwives and you know, nurses who work with labor and delivery are particularly susceptible to this, is they see things go wrong,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and they can, and actually it's not them that are as susceptible as their daughters, because what happens is they'll come home talking about the traumas that they experienced at work, and the kids absorb, unfortunately, you know, in those situations, they can absorb the experience as a very traumatic one, because that's what they're hearing.
Right.
Because the mother, you know, she's working as a nurse and seeing that she's trying to work these things out. So I think it's important even for professionals to sometimes debrief.
I think that is absolutely true. And I also think that sometimes with our, I mean, really incredible professionals that we have in the field, I've worked with some amazing midwives and doctors, and I have nothing but respect for them. They do an amazing job.
Yes.
But I think that there is a tendency, if the birth, you know, it goes reasonably well by their standards, in that there's nothing major that goes wrong, okay?
Yes, they have a name for that. You know what they call it?
What?
They call it unremarkable.
Unremarkable.
This happened once, and it was funny, this OB in training was in a hospital, and she was saying she just got done with the birth, and, you know, it was a normal, unremarkable birth, and I just stood up and I said, unremarkable? How can you say that about birth?
You hit the nail on the head,
and I think
Dr.
that
Gale.
You hit on something important, which is that, okay, so say you have a very positive experience in giving birth.
Right.
Oftentimes, it's just put aside as unremarkable. And what you do in the postpartum, you know, interview is to bring out the remarkability of it and really to really harness the positive energy of that in your life. And what I find is that women will naturally transfer it to other things in their life without even me suggesting it. It's just a natural thing. Like one woman said, when she got, you know, at the end of the interview, and she's talking about, you know, the birth, and we, you know, we worked with it and so forth, and she felt very, very empowered about it. It had been a vaginal birth. It's the first in, I think, 7 in the history of her family, because it was a generational thing that went down.
Mm-hmm, right.
And she was the first to give birth vaginally in 8 births, she said.
Oh, wow.
So she felt really good about this, and then she just started to kind of muse and say, oh, and, you know, I wish I could transfer that power to other areas of my life. And I said, yes, you can. Like, what other areas? She goes, well, work.
Wow, okay.
And so, you know, then we talked about that for, you know, the remainder of the session, and really encouraged her, yes, you can transfer this. This is part of your development as a woman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we really want to let you have that rather than say it's unremarkable.
I love that you brought that term up, because that was exactly kind of the feeling in the air, you know, that I experienced in after my birthing experiences. It was like, well, you know, yes, it was prolonged and clearly stressful and, you know, kind of on the edge there, but it was still unremarkable. And I was like, excuse me, this was enormous. There has never been anything in my entire life that has been this big, and it's really remarkable to me.
Yeah, well, and that is the feminine power, I think, that, you know, that we need to look at. You know, certainly in our society, feminine values of caretaking children or nurturance or giving birth are all seen as, you know, unpaid work or work that isn't that important or that remarkable.
Right, exactly. So by processing this, I think that we can really bring more empowerment, more vitality into our lives.
Yes.
And I know that as I processed that first birth experience in particular, I got to the point where I was able to say, wow, if I could do this, I can do anything.
Exactly.
We're here today talking with Dr. Gail Peterson, who has a wealth of information to share all about preparing for birth, giving birth, processing that experience, and then the entire range of life and creating healthy families. Now, we had just been talking about specifically her postpartum processing session, and I have one specific thing I want to bring up, Dr. Gail, that I know a lot of mothers who have given birth to their first child already can be very frightened about having another one. I know that was the case with me going to have my second child. I really felt like I was, you know, about to go through the gauntlet, and I really wanted to get out of it. Actually, I was determined I could get somebody else to, you know, swap bodies with me and give birth. And, you know, it ended up being incredibly easy my second time compared to my first time, but psychologically, I didn't know that would be the case. So for other women out there listening right now who might have that fear, can you share a little bit about how to help?
Yes, well, I think that second births will tend to go more smoothly, a little quicker. Usually, mm-hmm. you know, this is because the body's learned how to do it. However, I think a lot of it for you may have come from the fact that you did start talking, you know, you started talking about the birth and, you noticed you were having these feelings about the word pushing and,
right.
you know, so you did some psychological processing
mm-hmm.
before you actually, and you knew what you were prepared for. So you weren't, you know, if you weren't quite prepared for pain, you know, you actually knew what it was, so you could actually prepare to cope. So all of those things likely also,
right.
you know, really, really helped you have a smoother labor the second time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, when women are afraid of giving birth again, that, you know, we really need to support them in healing. You know, there needs to be some amount of healing that goes on before the birth. And some of that is talking about the story. Some of it is visualizing. In my book, An Easier Childbirth, there's actually a transcript of a visualization of childbirth where you can, you know, kind of fill in your situation.
Right.
And some of the hypnosis is embedded in there, and you use your own situation, your own name, and so forth. And they can actually make their own, you know, CD or recording.
Great idea.
You know, from that, it's chapter 8 of An Easier Childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and actually that book, for people who wouldn't be able to access, you know, prenatal counseling in that way, that book is a workbook of my model.
Oh, great.
So they can actually work through it themselves. You know, they really have to focus. They have to write in, you know, sort of write in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a workbook that way. And then they can create and read into the CD, you know, the visualizing what it would have felt like and so forth. So so I would, you know, recommend using that book if somebody was afraid of giving birth, and just doing that will bring out a lot and take them forward.
Right.
Just as you probably did as you worked through your issues in your way.
Right.
You know, this is just sort of a guideline for that. So I would really recommend doing some work on that before actually, you know, giving birth.
That's great advice. Now you have such a great website. You have tons on there, and that's going to be listed as our resource of the week on MommyMuse.com under Great Places. Now maybe you could share with our audience some of the things that you have available there that they can explore.
Yeah, I'd love to. One of the things that I think is really, really helpful for new families is the seminars page, the free seminars on making healthy families, communication, and developing your family vision. All of these are based on research on, you know, what makes families happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just, you know, how can people make it, but what actually contributes to happy families. And
so not just surviving, but actually beginning
yes,
to thrive
yes.
as a family.
Right. And, of course, you know, how, in other words, what I've always been interested in, and this was the research on birth and has become the research on families, is, you know, when things go right, how do they look? What contributes to it?
Excellent.
So, you know, that's really what these seminars are. Okay, so when your family relationships go well, what are the elements that have to be there? You know, there are actually, I think it's 7 elements identified, 7 characteristics of healthy families. So, you know, if you know what those are, it really helps. and then, you know, in terms of communication, you know, the same thing. I have a worksheet on one of my seminars that's on, it's called Discussion Busters, you know, identifying your discussion busters.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to do with how people communicate and how they get through hot topics, you know, where they start arguing and, you know, they can't quite, you know, be able to come back to the table and you know, work it out. So if you can identify, and I have this, exercise where they identify what are their discussion busters. It could be I walk out when I get angry, I huff out, you know, without returning.
Right, right.
You know, it could be somebody, sometimes men will find themselves in a position of sort of discounting their wives' emotional, complaints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's not that important, or that really doesn't matter, you know, and that only makes it worse. And there's a few others, you know, withdrawal and attack. You know, if you're attacking somebody, you do this and you do that, you know, rather than saying, okay, I feel this way when you do whatever. And so all of these things are identified, and then you make your own profile of, you know, what are your discussion busters, and then how to break them.
Excellent.
And how to create a healthy interaction. So I'll say, you know, and you can do this yourself with the exercises. I'll say to people when I'm talking with them about this kind of thing is what you want to do is say, okay, I usually huff out, and you probably are going to because you haven't learned it in the limbic system yet. Hey there, but just tell yourself, okay, I know I do this, you know, don't be hard on yourself, be kind to yourself. You're learning a new skill in the midst of a heated situation.
Right.
You know, and just give yourself the right to come back and apologize.
Right.
You know, and to be able to do that creates a certain warmth of connection, and that's what the site is about. It's like what contributes to warmth and connection in families makes them want to come together. It's because they want to do that. They want to spend time together or to connect or whatever.
Right.
That's what makes healthy families. You know,
well,
so specific communication patterns can easily be identified, and then you can start working on them, and you'll get somewhere.
Exactly. But you're bringing up something that I think is so important for people to be aware of. You know, people have a tendency to think that some of us are just born better parents than others, and I actually believe that parenting and relationship building is a learned skill. And
right.
that by studying and getting, well, really educating ourselves about what kinds of things make healthy relationships, healthy families, like what your website is all about, that we're able to then start putting those things into practice as healthy strategies to benefit our whole family.
Right, and in my book, Making Healthy Families, what it does is it's also a workbook that takes people through their family histories, asking them specific questions, identifying the patterns in their family so they can see them, and that those are the ones you inevitably repeat, right. usually, you know, unless you see them and you have an alternative, and then you teach yourself the alternative to create a certain warmth and safety in the family, as opposed to, withdrawal or cutoffs.
Right. So it sounds like in your workbooks and in your books on your website, you take people through a process where they can pretty easily identify what their typical patterns are, which are usually largely unconscious. So, you know, we're not usually aware of those just walking around in our daily interactions. But then you take them further than that. You show
right.
them, okay, this is what you're doing, but these are the choices that you have. This is what you can try out as different techniques, different strategies that may really get you the results that you want in your life instead of what your just habitual response is.
Yes, and I found people respond very positively. You know, I've got a lot of positive feedback from people who have taken the time to go through the seminars and actually print out the exercises, put them up on their refrigerator, and use them, you know, in their daily lives. And also there are about 600 questions and answers from, you know, new parents, a lot from new parents about couples' relationships, about sex in the marriage and sex after, you know, childbirth,
right.
this sort of thing that have also been answered that can be very, very useful. They're divided up into categories for the ages of children and this sort of thing. So that's right on the homepage. You can see that.
I really appreciate the layout there, especially for sleep-deprived new parents. It's so handy to be able to go there, and you can clearly see everything laid out so that whatever age or stage of family that you are in, you can clearly see what it is that you're trying to find. There's no real searching around with any difficulty. It's quite easy. So I really recommend that people go there and check that out. We're talking today with Dr. Gail Peterson from MakingHealthyFamilies.com, and she's been sharing some wonderful tips with us. Dr. Gail, I know that one complaint that so many new moms have is this transition into baby time, where it's, nothing is what it used to be, and everything is on a baby's schedule, which is completely different from what we've been accustomed to up until
right.
that point. So I'm hoping you can share some advice with our audience about how to cope with that.
In fact, I have a question from a mother that was about just that, living on baby time, and I'll just read a couple of sentences from her experience, because I think it says what you're talking about. It says it all. My life was totally changed since I gave birth to my daughter 2 months ago. Our days now involve sitting, nursing, changing diapers, and not much else. Right now I feel like I'm riding a wave, but sometimes I worry I'll be pulled under. I think it's important for a mom to be with her new baby, so any ideas on how I can relax and learn to live in baby time would be appreciated.
Great question.
So, this is a mother 2 months postpartum, and what I liked on your website that I read, Christy, was, you know, the idea that postpartum is 24 months.
Right.
I'm not sure it said postpartum was, but, you know, the adjustment really
yes.
is a 2-year process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true in any life stage, you know, whether you get divorced and you get remarried or, you know, 2 years is really the time it takes to adjust to the entry of a member in the family or, you know, the leaving of somebody in the family.
Right.
So I think, you know, for this woman, I mean, she's talking about, you know, just that immediate few months and kind of getting her stride in that first year. And it's very important to maintain a life perspective, because at this point, I think it feels as if that first year, it feels like it's going to be like that forever.
It sure does.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't know, there's just something about it, I guess, because it's such a different slowing down in some mm-hmm. ways, and yet there's a lot of work involved to it. But I think that people have to be reminded, you know, this is the first year, and you know, whatever, you know, you can give your baby in this first year, if you can, you know, that's comfortable for you with support, you're going to really benefit from it later because the baby will be more secure,
right?
You know, and then you'll be able to leave or whatever more easily, you know. So I think it's very important to really maintain the perspective that this does not go on forever, and the first year is really about establishing trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you see it that way, and that's, you know, the good job you're doing. But of course, you get, you know, get help. I mean, you know, especially connect with other mothers.
Right.
You know, sites like yours and you know, the resources you have, you know, connecting with other moms and being able to have, you know, especially new baby groups.
Right.
Is, you know, just, I mean, some people make fast friends and stay friends for, you know, for years and years, like 20 years, they
mm-hmm.
know these people, you know, growing
right.
up. So it's a very important time to kind of reassess and realize that this is not forever. You know, your baby will grow and it will be a child and you will look back and go, wow, that went fast.
Right.
You know?
That's right. After the fact, you can look back and see it goes quickly.
And also, you know, establishing a satisfying routine. You know, you have to adjust to your baby and its napping schedule and so forth, but your baby also adjusts to you to some extent.
Right.
You know, it isn't all or nothing. And I think some mothers get very, very trapped into some idea that they're on the baby's time and that's it. And, oh, the baby's going to sleep now. And, oh, if it doesn't sleep now, oh, my God, you know.
Right.
And you have to be really quiet, you know, when the baby sleeps. But the truth is babies are able to adjust to going places, to doing things. And especially if it's a first baby, you're really freer to do that than you are with more than one. So you should take advantage, you know.
Right, that's right. Well, those are really helpful tips. And I have to ask you, you mentioned earlier that you don't like to use the term surrender in particular because that's more of a term from war. But, you know, it seems to me like it needs to be a yielding process in this
yeah.
first introduction.
Yeah, I mean, you yield to your baby in certain ways, you know, when it's very young. And then, of course, you expect your child within appropriate, you know, guidelines to yield to you.
Exactly. So it does go both ways in a healthy relationship that way.
Mothers are people, too. I have several questions that come in about that, and that's, you know, one of the things, you know, I tell people is mothers are people too. Your needs matter, and in fact, mothers are often, the health of the mother is really sometimes, you know, of just a very big cornerstone in terms of family health, because mothers are so much at the center of, you know, regulating or managing the emotional needs of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not happy, and if
right.
they're not healthy and getting what they need, then, you know, they can't be that foundation, and the babies pick it up. You know, babies need happy mothers too, and I don't mean that they have to be gleeful, but
sure.
they have to be satisfied. You know, mothers need satisfaction too, and some of that is getting breaks.
Right.
And being able to continue doing, you know, things that you've done in the past, whether,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you don't do them as much, but you continue to do them. If you're a runner or if you take dance classes, maybe you don't, you know, maybe your time is shorter and you don't take as many, but you still take them, you know, so that you go back to them. It's not a matter of all or nothing necessarily.
That is so helpful. And what I see in the work that you're doing in the world and in your website is that you're really advocating that the mothers, I mean, obviously it's for the whole family, including fathers, but in particular that the mothers pay attention to taking care of themselves physically, emotionally, you know, doing what they need to do both to prepare themselves for their life as a mom and to have excellent self-care along the way, because
yes.
that's what's going to fortify them to be a cornerstone of that entire family in a way that's ecological for everybody.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it, Christy, because the success of family relationships depends upon meeting your needs and your baby's needs in a complementary manner.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to experiment and see what works, but, you know, baby time has to also be mommy time too sometimes. And really, in a healthy family, all needs, you know, all members have to balance their needs. So, I mean, fathers matter, you know.
Absolutely.
Mothers matter. Babies matter. And then there's this shift, you know, this all, you're constantly shifting because, the you know, as the baby grows, the baby can make more room for mommy and daddy to have their own relationship and so forth.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, it's a very dynamic flow.
It sure is. And you know, keeping that in mind, I think, is very good, too. I know a lot of times we think of finding a balance as kind of a static point, and it's not. There's a good point. And fluctuation, and, you know, it's not like you reach the pinnacle and you've achieved it. It's a definitely an ongoing process that is so incredibly worthwhile, because I'll tell you, as difficult as motherhood has been, you know, at different moments in my life, I wouldn't trade it for the world, because I have grown so much. I get incredible joy from my children now, and it's been by far the most growth-enhancing aspect of my life.
And, you know, if that's true now, Christy, you see you have a good foundation,
mm-hmm.
and that will continue, you know, to grow and develop. And, you know, I can tell you as a grandmother that it's a very beautiful thing, and I'm sure your mother, you know, feels.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
It's
a very beautiful thing to see, you know, your children having children and, you know, and improving on the things you did and
absolutely.
Being able to talk about it and laugh about it and cry about it.
That's true. Now, we're just about out of time for today, but thank you so much, Dr. Gale, for joining us for a wonderful show. I want to encourage everybody to go to makinghealthyfamilies.com to check out your resources.